Seated.
Amen. We're heading into week two of our message series called In the Beginning. Last week we covered the first story of creation, Genesis 1. Remember the six-day story. And the key things we talked about last week were that 6 days doesn't mean six 24-hour days. 6 days is a way for human beings to describe the work that God did in terms that we could understand all that God created. And God created all there ever is, all there ever will be during that time in the beginning. Before anything else was created, there was God. God moved the ball, Mom, and got things rolling, the first mover, and they've been rolling ever since. And here we are in the midst of that. God made a promise to His creation that He will never leave creation, never forsake it, always be there for us. Remember promise? Which leads into covenant, which means there's two sides to a promise. God's promise is firm, unchanging. What about us? What's our side of the promise look like? What does that covenant we make with God look like? It's individual according to each one of us. What promise are you willing to make to God? How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to give to God? What's your side of the promise look like? That determines everything else in your life. Remember? Everything else. God made human beings completely unique among all of creation. In the image of God, He made you. Male and female, He made you. Completely unique with the ability, the chance to reflect God's image in your life. To be a reflection of God's image. Not to be God, to be a reflection of God. It's what God's purpose for us is, to be that reflection of God. So there we are, created and ready to go. But wait a minute. There's a second story of creation in Genesis. Did you know that? I strongly encourage you, as we walk through these weeks together, to read the scripture that we're going to be covering, to come to the village and learn new things about who you are and who God is and your relationship with God and what it means and why it is the way it is. Because that's what creation tells us. That's what the creation stories teach us. The creation stories aren't about some literal interpretation of something that happened billions of years ago in a garden in Beaverton, Oregon. The story of creation is about you today, why you are the way you are. Wouldn't you like to know why you're the way you are? About who God is and why God is the way God is. Wouldn't you like to know that? And about the relationship between the two, right? The most important thing in our life, our relationship with God. So there's a second creation story. I'm looking at the clock, just so you know. The clock now says 10:35. I will not go past 1 p.m. today, I promise. I make that, it's my covenant. You know, it's a promise God made. I'm making that covenant with God. I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes. See how far we get. And we'll pick it up next week. Fair enough? Fair enough? I'm not leaving. You did agree to that, right? Or I will. God created that. It's wonderful. You know, it's perfect. Just how God created it. So let's read through. Starting the second story of creation. Sean, Genesis 2, verse 4. How are we going to divide these sections, by the way? Did we decide? You'll let me know. I'll figure it out. I'll see. I love that. Leap of faith. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, see how this is already different from Genesis 1? When no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Hang on right there, Sean. Go back one, if you can. All right. What have we got? We've got a whole different story of creation that, Kendra, tells us a lot about why you're the way you are. Do you realize that? Because your whole family's been wanting to know. We've been talking about it. We're all this way, aren't we? It tells us about how why we are all the way we are. Because in the first story of creation, we were created in what? Image of God. First story, image of God. The reflection of God in the world, uniquely among all creatures, us, created in the image of God. But there's more to Kevin. I know it's hard to believe. There's more to Kevin than just a reflection of the image of God. It's hard to imagine that you're nothing but pure God. But let me get my arms around it. A second story was needed to tell us the truth about the other side of Kevin. Yeah, that's what they could have called it. The other side of Kevin. Only it's the other side of Adam. Close. He was made from the earth. He was made from the mud, the dirt, the muck. He's an earthly creature. Yes, spiritually, eternally, he's made in the image of God. Temporally, on this earth, he's an earthly creature. He's made of the earth. His vessel that he lives in, get this now, the vessel that he lives in was made perfectly by God for one place in all of the universe. Earth. Don't work anywhere else. If you're planning on going to the moon tomorrow, you better wear a suit. Right? Because you won't survive it. Mars, you'll freeze to death. Right? Whatever. That vessel was made perfectly for this place, this earth. Eternally, he's the reflection of God. But here on earth, he's got another issue, doesn't he? He's made of the earth. He's an earthly being. He's got self-will. He's got free choice. He can decide what he wants to do, right? Preferably according to God's will. When he makes choices according to God's will, he reflects God in the world. When he makes choices that aren't according to God's will, he makes dirty, mucky, muddy choices, right? And muddies things up a little bit. By the way, it's not just Kevin. And it's not just Kendra. It's every single human being that was ever created. That explains why we are the way we are. That's how God made us. God made us to have free choice. God made us, or in his reflection. God put us in the earth, and God created a garden. A perfect, harmonious garden of nature, we would say. You know what that garden is? It's the world. It's the world at the beginning, in perfect harmony, has everything we'll ever need, right? The kingdom of God, as Jesus would call it. That's where we started, right? But there was something in the garden. Out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, everything we'd ever need. Go ahead. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden. Some translate that as middle. The tree of life in the middle of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have everything we need. Perfect harmony with God's will. And we have two trees right in the middle. Knowledge of good and evil. How's that? Tree of life. Tree of life. All right. A river flows out of Eden. I didn't think we put these in there. Keep going. Nope. Didn't have those in there. Nope. All right. Go back. And the Lord God commanded them. By the way, those verses we just passed over, it's holy word, by the way. I just didn't mean to say it like that. It's about the rivers, the four rivers that God created, which teach us a different story than who we are and who God is. The Lord God took the man, and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. This is where we get in trouble. Someone else telling us what to do. That's where all trouble starts, isn't it? You know, this world would be perfect if people would just do exactly what I said every day and never do anything different. Don't you feel that way sometimes? If people could, don't you feel that way sometimes, Amy? If we could just do everything my way. I got this down. I know exactly what we need to do, right? I mean, I'm made in the image of God. Forget about that mud and that muck stuff. I'm made in the image of God. How did I get that way, by the way? How did I get that way where everybody would just do the things I want to do, we'd be great? How did I get that way? Well, God spoke. Gosh darn it. And he said, you may freely eat of every tree in the world that I've created for you. But of this tree, this is where I get in trouble. Don't you? The but, you know? You can eat of every tree in the garden. But? Isn't that real life? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. We've got somebody trying to tell me what I can't do, Ann. You know how I feel about that? Now I've got to do it. I can't help it. Now it's my greatest temptation. Janice told a great story this morning in the village about the perfect application of this. Growing up, and she had her bicycle, and her father, not God, but her father said, you can ride that bike, you know, to your heart's content. I'm ad-libbing a little bit. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't cross Route 133, right? It's the one thing she can't do. So what happens immediately when Dad says that? It becomes the one thing she wants to do. She has to do it now, right? She can't resist the temptation not to do it, right? And she did. And we all have been suffering the consequences ever since. Janice! No, because we're all that way. You tell me one thing I'm not supposed to do, and I'm going to try to wonder why. It must be really good. There must be something great about that that they don't want me to have, right? I'm going to do it. Ah, and that's our life. In that day that you eat of it, you shall die. What does that mean? That means that that perfect harmony that God created puts you right in the middle of it. Everything according to God's will, a perfect world, the kingdom of God and us back in his glory, that's done. We're in a different world now. Well, how did that come about? Well, it goes back to that darn tree or Janice's bike ride, whichever you prefer. Let's go on to scene two. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground the Lord formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Okay, hang on, go back one. Go back one, please. Okay, we're missing a verse in there. I'll fill you in. Okay, he would call them, and whenever the man called every living creature, that was its name. God sees that man is alone. God's created this perfect place to live in, but it's lacking one thing. Man needs a companion because God created us for relationship. You understand? To live in community, to be together with each other, not to be alone, but to be with each other, to show our love to each other. We cannot fulfill the purpose in our life that God gave us if we live alone. We are called to be in relationship. So God says, I'll make some animals. Some animals can be God's companion. So God sends man these animals. And man names every... See how this is so different from Genesis 1, by the way? Did you know this? So God names every animal that God brings. But it doesn't satisfy the need of relationship, does it? All right? Whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Let's see what you got next. So God decided to do a new creation. One more creation, one last creation, a true companion for man. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Took a rib. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. A new creation. Praise God. Right before God stops creating, he creates woman. That's supposed to be a joy and a blessing for us. You realize that? Because God looked at us in that perfect garden and said, if I leave these two to their own way, this garden won't last a day. Right? We better bring them some help. So God took from us a rib and created our helper, our companion. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made it into a woman and brought her to the man. Here we go. Then the man said, this at last is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Okay, see where God's going with this? This is very, very important because this gets misinterpreted all the time. God created a man and God created a woman, as if these are two distinct human beings, two separate persons. We get confused about this all the time. That's not what God says. God doesn't say we're two distinct beings, two different kinds of people. God took the rib from man and made woman and made us one, Scripture says. Made us one. We're not supposed to be separated from each other. It's the whole story of Jesus' ministry, is that we are actually united. We are already one, and we just don't know it. We treat other people as if they're different, as if they're separate from us. Dangerous. Wrong. That's not what God did here. God created us to be one. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. One flesh. I've got a wedding coming up next Saturday. This verse will be preached. You don't become man and wife. You become one in Jesus Christ. You're not separate anymore, right? You live for God's will and your spouse. You live for God's will and your spouse. That way you are one. That's how God wants us all to live. That's how he created us to live as one, one family. All right, Sean. And the man and his wife, this is a great, great line here because it becomes very important. We've got about 5 minutes left, just so you know. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. What does that really mean? Well, the term naked is not meant to be taken literally, but that's part of it because it shows us what it really means. That's what a metaphor does, right? They were both naked and not ashamed. That means they were completely free to be exactly who they were without any inhibitions, any thoughts of limitation, any thoughts of weakness, any thoughts of failure, any thoughts of less than, any thoughts of unworthy. None of that exists. They were perfectly content, totally satisfied with who they were, just as they were. No peer pressure, no people pleasing. Hey, I am what I am, right? I'm just like God created me, and God doesn't make mistakes. God don't make no junk, right? That's how they felt. They were perfect in God's eyes, and that's all that mattered. I've got a sign in my office, right, Ethan? Where's Ethan? You awake? He's had a rough, long night. Okay. Well, I didn't mean it to come out that way. I didn't. He didn't sleep much during the night. Oh, never mind. Ethan, I got a sign in my office. Right? Right? Do you remember? Okay. It doesn't matter at all what anybody else thinks of you. Right? If you're in God's place, in God's space, in God, people are going to think some strange things about you. I witness. It doesn't matter. You can be completely free to be who you are. That's a great feeling. Let's jump in to scene 3 real quick before we end today. So there they are in the garden, totally content with who they are, man and woman as one. They're already one family, Ann, just as God created all of us to be. There's one family of people, Adam and Eve, as we call them, right? That's us. That's human beings. One, united, one flesh. No differences, no separations, one. I think I made the point. You got it? Okay. Now, there was someone else in the garden. Or was there? You know, you've heard about the snake and the apple? How many people have heard of the snake and the apple in the garden? Okay, that never happened. The Bible never says snake, and it never says apple. Did you know that? That's just how we teach heresies of the Bible. Teach it so literally that we actually make it up. The Bible never says snake, and it never says apple, right? It says serpent. The serpent was more crafty than any, get this now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. Does that mean the serpent was a wild animal? Or it was more crafty than any wild animal? Who is the serpent in this story? Satan. Who else? Us. Where's that voice of the serpent come from? Right here, Kevin, in our earthliness, in our mud and our muck. We think about God's desires all the time, don't we? And here's what we often say. Does God really want me to act that way? What's the reward for that? I bet I've got a better way. You know, I'm going to try my way instead. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll come running to God on my hands and knees and ask Him to redeem me. Because I know that's what you've all done. We've all done it. The serpent, and the serpent speaks. It's that voice inside of you that says, you've got a better way, a better plan. You don't have to listen to God. Not all the time. You're good enough. You go to church on Sunday. Go with it. Live your life. It's all about you. And the serpent simply says this, because this is how it always starts when we start questioning God. We're having a day today, aren't we, me and you? Why is that? I don't know. It must be a God thing. Listen, anytime we start questioning God's way, this is what happens. Did God say, you shall not eat from the tree in the garden? Let's go back and overanalyze what God wants so that we can find the fault in it, right? We do that all the time. Go back and overanalyze it. You ever watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC? Analysts make things up, right? They reword things so they're restated in ways that then they can knock down, right? That's what we do with God. Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? No. Keep going, Sean. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God did say, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Did God ever say you can't touch it? No. We just made that up. Like, we're going to make what God wants to do seem more unrealistic than it ever is. God said I couldn't even touch it. God never said that. That's not in the scripture. We just make that up. Right? Make up things to make it seem more unrealistic, more unworkable. If I eat, God said even if I touch it, I'll die. God didn't say that. But the serpent's got a response for that, because now you're setting the serpent up perfectly. You will not die! For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Oh, be like God. Now, what's it like to be like God? Well, that means I get to make plans instead of God. That means I've got my own will about the way things should work instead of God, right? That means my way is more important than God's way. Anybody ever live like this? That means I'm not really worried about what God says about this thing. This can't be important to God. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, right? All kinds of things we come up with. So, the serpent said, I won't die. That little voice inside of me, you're not going to die. That's ridiculous. Even if you touch it. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, this is Janice's story, you know. When Janice saw that the that the bike was good to ride across 133, and that it was a light to ride on the highway. Woo! And it was to be desired, because now you'll be a grown-up. You'll be riding your bike on the highway. It's a little alternate interpretation. So she took of its fruits and ate. And she also gave some to her husband. Ah, it's her fault, right? That's where we go with that literal interpretation. Doesn't matter. We're all one. Don't blame anybody else for your sins, people. And don't blame God for them either. He gave you the choice, right? He's not making the decision. You are. So she took of its fruit and ate. Go back one, Sean. I want to get that again. So she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. All right, let's wrap it up. Give me something good. Here we go. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and now they knew they were naked. What does that mean? Well, that image of just being myself, perfectly content just as I am, now that I know about good and evil, right and wrong, worthy and unworthy, bad and good, right, light and dark, now that I know all that, now I see myself completely differently. Now I see all my warts, all my scars, all my sins. Now I'm like God. I can see all my sins. And you know what? Seems like I'm not worthy. I'm not really very good. A week ago I was perfectly content in the Garden of Eden. And now I know myself like God does. Couldn't resist to judge myself in a way that God judges or the way I think God judges. And no one can meet the test. No one. Because we listen to the serpent voice and we can't resist those few things that God doesn't want us to do. We're going to leave it there. What's our next verse, by the way? Yeah, let's end with scene 3. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. What does that mean? They covered themselves up and they could no longer be themselves. Because just as yourself, exactly as God created you, in your own unique, crazy, loony, fun way, sorry, it's just not good enough. You got to cover up that person and become a person that's somehow acceptable to all those other people that are now more important in your life than God because you ate of that tree. And that's how we live. We end up living for the culture, people pleasers, hiding our best selves, our most unique parts of ourselves, the most spiritual parts of ourselves. Let's just stop there. Hiding the spiritual parts of our lives, don't we? Because it just wouldn't be acceptable to the earthly world out there. And we have lost the purity of who God created us to be. And there's the bridge. And as we leave our message today, by the way, the Garden of Eden, if you're wondering, Beaverton, Oregon, right there. That's the Garden of Eden in Beaverton, Oregon. The reason that slides up there is the bridge. Somehow, we have to find a way to get back to the garden. Coming up, story of Jesus Christ. And the bridge. The thing God did so that we could have a way back because we can't do it alone. Amen? All right. Is that good? You hear Genesis 2? Was that good for you? Did you learn anything? Was that boring? Was that okay? I'll hear later. Barry said it was good. All right. All right. Do you have an invitation to communion?
I can make one up.
All right, let's do that. That's just what I did. Hey, we got the video.
I know.